We have a member of the missions committee to come up and present one of our mission works, either organization or a family. Today, we have Miss Carol as our missionary of the week. And Phil Kelly said there's no sense in him standing up here talking about Miss Carol when she can come up and talk about herself. And so we are really glad, by the way, to have Miss Carol come. Some of you don't know her as well as some of us, and you need to get to know her. Just a wonderful person, ministry that the Lord has blessed her with over these years. And so, Miss Carol, take some time.
Thank you. Well, first of all, I grew up in Kansas. I was saved as a teenager. When I graduated from Moody Bible Institute in August 1949, I came in a few weeks to Gentry, which was the headquarters of the mission that I belonged to. It was called America Inland Mission. And my mother made the remark, how are you going to live? And I said, I don't know, but the Lord has called me down there, and I'm sure He will provide. And He has. All of these years, He has provided not only financially, but physically, and in so many ways. From Gentry, I went to Green Forest, where a lady who was a member of the mission was teaching Bible in the schools. And so I learned how to go about that in October. I just want you to see how I can say with the servant of Abraham, I was being in the way the Lord led me. And so I went to this woman at Pea Ridge asked if there would be somebody in the mission that could teach Bible in the schools in Springdale area. Well, Brother Fisher, the president, contacted me, and I went to see this Florence Burton, and she had a county map and came with me, and we first contacted Dr. Kelly of Springdale Schools, and he said yes, if the teachers were in favor, it was all right with him. So we went to the schools, and I had at first was Center Corners and Spring Creek and Elm Springs and Oak Grove and Bethel and Accident and Monitor and Hickory Creek and Fishback. Now, to most of you, those don't mean anything, but they were rural schools around Springdale. And then in March of 1950, Jewel came, and we added some more schools. And as time passed, one of the teachers at Shady Grove asked if we couldn't start a Sunday school. That was out in the country then. And so we started a Sunday school there. And after a while, the cook at Peaceful Valley said, these people need a Sunday school. So we changed Shady Grove to 9:30 to 10:30, and Peaceful Valley from 11 to 12, and that eventually grew, and we had a couple in the mission, and we asked them if they would come over and organize, and he was a preacher, and so that's where Peaceful Valley Bible Church began. And in the meantime, the teacher at Steele, which is south of Tawnytown, asked if we could come out there. Well, so we had an evening class there, and that grew to a church, and some of the students at JBU began to be the preacher. And when in about, I can't remember, but 58 or 59, whenever the schools closed, we realized that, and so we started having Bible classes in homes. We called them just Bible classes, but Good News Bible Clubs. And we had them in various homes here in town, and we went to a child evangelism conference meeting one time, and they said, if there are two of you, then have women's Bible study classes. One of you teach the women and one teach preschool. So that's what we did. Jill taught the preschool and I taught the women's, and we've had that for a number of years. Janet, I think, is probably the one that has attended my Bible classes the longest. I'm not sure. Gloria has also attended for a long time, in this church. We've also had, Rick Parsons and Johnny Stamps were in our daily vacation Bible schools. When we were teaching in schools in the summertime, we would have Bible schools. We'd have, and in those times, we would have Bible schools in these rural schools, and we had about six. In those times, they were 2 weeks long. And we would have one in the morning, pack up everything, eat our lunch on the road, and have another one in the afternoon, and study and prepare at night. And besides that, we had young people's meetings in Bethel during the summertime at night. One time later on, a woman told us, well, she had seen this car and what parked at noon, what we call Wagon Wheel Road now. And she wondered what was going on. So she got her binoculars, and she saw it was two women eating lunch. We were going from Bethel to just Island Grove. So some strange things have happened. But now I have four women's classes. One Tuesday morning at Peace, we use the Peaceful Valley Church. And then Tuesday afternoon, we go to Mayfield and use the Mayfield activity building, or lunch building. And then Wednesday, we have one in Holmes here in this area. And then Thursday morning, we have one at Gay Wheat's. And then there's some of us are involved in an after-school Bible club at Westwood. And that's one way. And by the way, we need some helpers. I'm sure that there are other schools in Springdale that could have a good news club if we just had workers. And Linda would be glad to see that you're trained, and it would be an opportunity to serve the Lord. I can say truly, being in the way the Lord has led me, He's led me placed just as you think of Florence Burton and the cooks and the teachers, how the Lord has given us opportunities, and the Lord will guide each one. He has provided in every different way, so He will provide your needs. So I just challenge you to just let the Lord have His way and serve Him in a way that's surprising even to you.
We want to start our service off this morning with some music. If you'll take your hymnals and turn to number 132 and stand, we want to start this morning with Angels We Have Heard on High, number 132.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply echo back their joyous strains. Come adore and your aid. With us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for this time that we can spend with your people. And this is a season that is full of the story of your birth. It's also full of many distractions, Lord. We pray that today, as we sing your praises and hear from your scripture and hear the message, that you would prepare our hearts and that you would teach us from your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. If you'll turn back now to number 131, just one page back, we want to sing Angels from the Realm of Glory, 131.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, ye have seen his natal star. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Thank you. You may be seated.
I would like the following to come to the platform: Steve Bartholomew, Roger Collins, Sam Mason, Joe Rogers. There's a method to this. Some of you might not know, and I do want to say these are the men, including myself, the elders of this congregation. These are the men that God has chosen, set out to oversee this work, and I just want to have them stand in front of you so that you can put names and faces together. These are just a group that personally I rely on heavily, but I did want you to see them as a board. These are your elders and the spiritual oversight of this church. A couple of weeks ago, we as a board presented to you another man and asked for your comments on Dale Gupton as an elder. And we have received a number of comments from you, and all of them were highly favorable, I guess is the best way to put it. And so today we as a board want to have Dale and Chris come, if you would please. Dale Gupton and his wife Chris. And we want to have a word of prayer, setting out Dale as one of the official members of the board. And Dale will be participating with us, and Chris as his wife, but be participating with us in the position of an elder. And we are very thankful for the way the Lord has brought them both to us and for their ministry in many ways. And we have seen Dale over the years grow in the faith and in his service in this congregation and in other areas as well. We have, as I mentioned before, Dale has been meeting with the board for a number of months now, and we have found him to be compatible, if you will. We have found him to be spiritually mature, and we just really believe that this is what the Lord would have us to do. And so we have Dale stand before you as another member of our board. And so we're going to ask Sam to come, if you would, please, and lead us in a word of prayer, setting out Dale and as an elder. But I would like you to stand with us so that it's not something removed from you as a congregation, but you are joining with us as we set him out and as you receive him as elder and as Sam leads us in a word of prayer for Dale. So, Sam, will you please come?
Our Father, we are so grateful that you, through Christ, in your wisdom, have created a body of believers in this world to carry on your ministry, your work. And Father, we thank you that you, in your wisdom, brought forth the various local churches, and this one in particular, where people can come together for worship, to learn, to grow, to mature in all aspects of our faith. And Father, we're thankful in your wisdom that you raise up leaders. We're thankful for Dale, for Chris. Thankful that you brought them to this church. And we would just commit them to you and commit Dale in his service on the board, his service to this body. We would pray you would give him wisdom and as he relates to the rest of us on the board, as he continues to relate to this congregation. Just we pray that you would be glorified through his and Chris's work in this body. And we commit them to you and to this body, and we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
You'll stand one more time. Sorry for that. We're going to sing a hymn of celebration, number 125, Joy to the World, number 125.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make his blessings flow, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found, far as the curse is found. He rules the world
You. You may be seated. Take your Bibles now. We're going to have Wayne come and read from the Gospel of John.
Turn, if you would, to John chapter 3. We'll read from verse 1 through 21. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who believes not, who does not believe, is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Father, we're grateful for your word, this most important chapter of it, and how we think of so many who have read it and come to know you as personal, Jesus as personal Savior. And we would ask that today, that we would just simply, as we read it, that it would be melded into our hearts, that we could just simply come to you in spirit and in truth and worship you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
One of the most amazing words that at least I relate to Christmas is the word comfort. Because God has chosen to visit us with great comfort. And one of the most amazing passages that relates to Christmas is found in Isaiah chapter 40, which starts out with the words, "Comfort, comfort ye my people." And Chris is going to sing just a marvelous Christmas song out of the Messiah based on the first several verses of the 40th chapter of Isaiah, singing of the comfort that our God has.
Straight and the rough places.
We are thankful for that, aren't we? Amen. Thank you, Chris. When you come back in your next life, come back as a tenor and learn to sing that. That is a... We'll dismiss the young ones to Children's Church at this time and ask that you turn back to John chapter 1. Recognize that when John the Baptist came and they said, "Who are you?" And he just said, "I am a voice crying in the wilderness." And Chris sang that message of John, marvelous thing. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for just today, for special people, for the ones who minister to us in music, in preludes and in special songs. Lord, you have blessed us as a congregation. You have blessed us as Christians, Lord, with music that exalts you, music that is biblical, music that brings forth the message of the gospel and the glories of our God. We just thank you for that. Thank you for elders, and again, even as Sam has prayed, I thank you for Dale. Pray your blessing on him and upon us as a congregation. But Lord, today we focus in on your word, and we thank you that you chose at a time in history to personally intervene into the world. Thank you for this season in which we remember the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have much to be grateful for, Lord, today. We would thank you for all. So bless our time as we continue in our study of things pertaining to Christmas, that we might get a better appreciation of what exactly happened back then and of its meaning for us in this time. So again, we just commit our time to you and pray that you would speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. What we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, actually since we started in the Gospel of John, and it coincided with the coming of the Christmas season, is to try to talk about some concepts or ideas about Christmas a little bit larger than just the things of the event itself. We do understand that there was a historical event, a birth of Jesus Christ, and the details are important, and certain things happened, and people said things and whatnot. But there's a larger picture. God was acting, as we said several weeks ago, personally to reveal himself to the world. And as we talked about a while back, God was also beginning to work out his plan of redemption. Now, it was from before the foundation of the world, and it goes on into eternity. But historically, the coming of Jesus Christ, even that passage that Wayne read out of John chapter 3, God sending his Son into the world so that people can be saved by faith in him. And so these are some larger things, not just the events of the birth of Christ, but the revealing of God, his revealing himself, and then acting, beginning to work out redemption for people. And today we want to, again, not deal with shepherds and wise men and Joseph and Mary and that sort of thing, but out of the Gospel of John, another larger concept, and Steve is going to deal with this again tonight. I don't know how much overlap we'll have. We haven't talked, but if I say everything Steve's going to say, then he'll say it again tonight, and it'll be better, but it's important. And I want to read just a few verses in John chapter 1 and talk about light coming into the world. Another big theme, if you will, of Christmas. Starting at verse 9. There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the idea of Christmas that we want to talk about today was that it's a time, not just the personal coming of the Word, not just the time when John could point to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but the time when light came into darkness. And that's the theme of Christmas, light coming into darkness. Now, we've done this before, but it helps just as an illustration of what we're talking about to just for a moment close your eyes and just think, now, what do I see with my eyes closed? And now you can open them if you want, or you leave them closed. But you see nothing. You see nothing with your eyes closed. Now, it's not exactly like the world had its eyes closed, but that's what the world saw, because the world was darkness. See, there was no light. There was no sight. And at Christmas, the historical event, if you will, the first Christmas, that was the state of the world, with, you know, just as though people had their eyes closed, covered, and what they saw, if you will, was darkness, nothing. See. Keep your finger in John chapter 1, but turn just for a moment to Isaiah. I'm just not going to deal in any detail, but to just run you through a couple of chapters. Isaiah chapter 7 and chapter 8. Just real broad, in chapter 7 and chapter 8, to a country that needed help, we get the promise of help, because there was coming a baby by the name of Emmanuel, God with us. And so God himself was coming to help. If the help was rejected, and you get to the end of chapter 8, it said, then they will look to the earth, and behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be driven away into darkness. And Isaiah goes on in this vein that here is light, or here is help coming in Emmanuel, but you reject him, you get darkness. And if you turn over to Isaiah chapter 59, again, just a couple of verses, this is the state of the nation, and we can expand it to the state of the world. It's starting in Isaiah 59, verse 9. Therefore, justice is far from us, and righteousness does not overtake us. We hope for light, but behold, darkness. For brightness, but we walk in gloom. We grope along the wall like blind men. We grope like those who have no eyes. We stumble at midday as in the twilight. Among those who are vigorous, we are like dead men. See? That's the world of Christmas. And that's the world, by the way, that God's people were in. Just no light. And we talked about this, and the historical train goes on. And you read in Malachi chapter 4, the promise again, just a promise, that the day was coming when, among other things, would happen, the sun of righteousness would rise. The sun would rise with healing in its wings. Light was coming, see. And light would come into darkness. And finally, you turn over into the New Testament, And we'll talk about this in another day, but in Luke chapter 1, to Zacharias and to Elizabeth, two of the faithful who were waiting for him, Zacharias could finally say, see, God has visited us. God has once again chosen to begin to act on behalf of his people. And you read that prophecy of Zacharias in Luke chapter 1, and he talks about, starting in verse 78, the sunrise from on high will visit us, picking the verse out of Malachi. See? And verse 79, to shine on those who are in darkness. And finally, at the event that we call Christmas, light had come, like God had promised for hundreds of years. And light was coming to people who were living in darkness. And that brings us to the first chapter of John, verse 5. The Word came, the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not, depending on your version, comprehend or grasp or overcome it. It either didn't understand what had happened in the sense of comprehending it, grasping, you know, understanding what's going on here, maybe, see? Or it didn't grasp it in the sense of overcoming it, see? Darkness didn't overcome the light, see? But either way, when the light came, the world, darkness, didn't receive it. Either they were ignorant of it, didn't know what was happening, or they didn't overcome it in the sense of active opposition. See? But either way, when the light came, they did not receive it. See? And John expands that concept starting in verse 9. See? There was the true light, the genuine light, not a man-made light or just even a partial light. Some versions might translate it. That was the ultimate light, the complete light. See? That was really light. See? And that light comes into the world and it enlightens every man in some sense. See? And you might read at the end of verse 9, you might say, read Romans chapter 1 about every man knowing something about God because God made it evident to them. In that sense, the light coming into the world and enlightening every man. See? Something about God, something about the light, everybody knew, see. Now he's not talking about everybody getting saved. That's not what we're talking about, but there's something in man that says some general revelation, see. But it goes on and said, he, the light, was in the world. And he made it. And it didn't know him, see. The light coming into the world was basically unknown, either by ignorance or by rejection, see, when the light came. They didn't receive him. Jeremiah has, again, thinking in terms of Old Testament prophets, and you can't do justice to understanding Christmas without reading Old Testament prophets, but verse 7:26 in Jeremiah, yet they did not listen to me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did more evil than their fathers. See? They just didn't receive the light. They stiffened their neck. See? Ultimately, we'll get to it at Easter, the rejection says, we have no king but Caesar. The worst words I think that the Jewish nation ever said. We have no king but Caesar. The ultimate rejection of the light. See? But the dark world and the light coming into the dark world, see, the birth of Christ, the coming of Christ. But a few received him. A few received him, and that's, we get more involved in that. We have the shepherds that understood something about it and came. We have ultimately the wise men who came. We have Simeon in the temple. We have Anna in the temple. We have obviously Mary and Joseph and whatever, and their understanding of this one. And some received him. See, some few, but nevertheless there were some. As many as received him, verse 12, and that word received has to do with understanding who he is and responding in trust and commitment and faith. Not just, I know who he is. He's Jesus, the Son of Mary, the Son of God. See, it's more than knowing who he is, but receiving him has to do with a committal of life to him. And he, Lord and Savior, King, all of those concepts, that's receiving him, see. And to these few who received him when he came at the first Christmas, and to others historically, which include, and I'm thankful, me and you, most of you, I trust, see. To the ones who received him as who he really was, God incarnate, he gave the right, not power in the sense of an ability to do something, but the right. He said, in a sense, he said, it's valid now. It is legal. It is okay to call yourself a child of God now. See, beforehand, it wasn't valid. You could not say that. You had no right to say, I am a child of God. See. But when you received him, when these faithful received him, he said to them, to us, it is okay now. It is valid and legal. You have the right to tell everyone you want, I am a child of God, see, by faith in his name. And this is a work that God does in verse 13. Born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, nothing that I had to do with, nothing that I could do or had anything to do with it. This is an act of God that by my faith, on the basis of my faith and my receiving him, he says to me, you are now able to call yourself, you have the right to call yourself a child of God. See, John, over in 1 John, says, what great love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we can be called the children of God. See. So light, first Christmas, the light came into a dark world. The world in general did not receive him, did not acknowledge him for who he was. They didn't receive him for who he was. They did not, they just either opposed him or they didn't know, but it did not receive him. But that was God offering light, life to those who receive him. And this is what God did when he sent light into darkness at the first Christmas. And that's a big picture of Christmas. It gets us, if we were going into a coffee shop, this would be the grande, right? You know, I don't know why they don't have little and big, you know, now we got grande, whatever. But this is a grande picture, if you will, of Christmas, see? Light coming into this kind of a world, dark world, and giving life, if you will, giving a new family relationship to people who understand that light and place their faith and trust in that light, who receive that light. See. But also, we need to get the other side of that picture at Christmas, because Christmas is not all sweetness and light. Christmas is as much about darkness as it is about light. Because in Scripture, when it talks about light, and you can look it up, when it talks about light, it always contrasts the light with darkness. It just never talks about light by itself. See? And And nothing's changed since the first Christmas. Nothing has changed. And we need to understand what we are when we celebrate Christmas. We are not just celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior, coming into the world and the historical events surrounding that. We are understanding that what we are doing is remembering and understanding that when we celebrate Christmas, we are talking about light in darkness. Light in darkness, not just light by itself, but light in darkness. And regardless of all our claims in our history and our society to being enlightened people, we live in a dark world as light. And that's the picture of Christmas, light in a dark world. Full of people who don't receive it. Now, you say, well, that was back then, the Jewish nation and the Roman government and whatnot. We live in Northwest Arkansas, right? And certainly we're not that way here. Let me just read a few verses. See. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We won't read them, but you can write them down if you want. Talks about the domain of darkness. That's what we've been delivered from. Christ delivered us from the domain, or God delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us into the kingdom of His Son. 1 Peter chapter 2 talks about we were in darkness. See? And Ephesians 5, if you remember back a number of weeks ago when Steve talked about that in verse 8, it doesn't say we lived in darkness. It said we were darkness. See, so the world is dark and the people in it are dark. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks about people who are blinded by the God of this world so that light can't shine in apart from a work of God. See? And so when you read in John chapter 1 that the light came into the world and the world didn't receive it, it's because this is a description of the world. Darkness, a dark world full of dark, blinded people. See? And you can read Romans and Revelation, put them together and read that in there and find out. And even at the end in Revelation, when the wrath of the Lamb, the light of the world, is being poured out on the earth, men shake their fist and curse Him. See? Dark, blinded people. See? And again, you might say, surely not in Northwest Arkansas, right? And I would just read to you a quote that came out just about a month ago out of the enlightened people in Fayetteville, but Springdale is pretty close to Fayetteville. Somebody wrote, "I was appalled when told that Christ died for my sins. I didn't ask Him to do that for me, and I wouldn't have asked Him. Why should I feel grateful when someone does something I don't want him to do? Who was this Jesus guy from 2,000 years ago to arbitrarily decide that I was a bad person?" That's today, see. It's still a dark world at Christmas time, isn't it? See. But we have not just the story of Jesus' birth, not just the songs related to His birth, but we have the gospel to a dark world. See? If you think of the gospel in terms of that Paul uses in Acts, or the Lord uses to Paul in Acts chapter 26, In verse 17, the Lord says to Paul, starting in 16, I have appeared to you to appoint you a minister and a witness not only to the things which you have seen, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light, from the domain of Satan's to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me. To open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light. See. We remember at Christmas the birth of Jesus Christ, but we think a little bit larger now. And we understand that that is light coming to a dark world. And we remember the words of the Lord, and we'll get to this sooner or later in John chapter 12. I come as light, that those who believe in me might not remain in darkness. See, the gospel is the news that we bring to take people, to turn them out of the dark world in which they live into the light. See. And that's the picture of Christmas, light coming into a dark world, but bringing with it the good news that by faith in Jesus Christ, they turn from that darkness to light. But it's also the words that Wayne read in John chapter 3. See, those who don't believe, those who prefer the darkness to the light. The Lord says, this is the judgment, see. This is the judgment that light has come. And men would rather have darkness than light, see. So the light of Christmas, light coming into darkness, is a little bit bigger than what we just normally celebrate. It's God bringing good news to people to bring them out of darkness into light. It's also God announcing judgment on a dark world. Now, we don't talk about a lot of judgment at Christmas. We don't sing hymns of judgment. But that's the way we need to think. See? That's the way we need to think. And it's not why don't they let me have my manger scene on the courthouse lawn, see? It's how can we open their eyes to the light, see? It's not can I sing Christmas carols in school, but how do we bring light to a dark world in which we live, see? And so this Christmas, just to kind of expand your thinking, not removing anything from your celebration. I mean, every one of your houses, I am sure, our house does. Some of you saw it Thursday night. See, lights all over the place. Flashing lights, red lights, green lights, you know, everything. Lights, see. Go to Murphy Park, right? Every tree now? No relation to Doty, I don't think, but although maybe. Yeah. Go to Doty's Park, and it's really beautiful. What makes it beautiful at night? Lights, see. You'll go to Fayetteville if they're still doing the square, and it's just millions of lights, see. Look at them, see. And think and say, those are nice lights, but let me tell you about the light, the true light that comes into the world, see, at Christmas. Let me tell you about real light. And it's not just the lights that the cities put up or that we put up in our houses in decoration, But those are just mere reminders of what really happened at Christmas. Light coming into darkness. The darkness in opposition to it. But some, see, receive that light. And by receiving it, they turn from darkness to light. And that's the good news. That's what we really celebrate at Christmas. We celebrate light into darkness. And I trust that will just help you expand a little bit your own celebration. Whatever you do at Christmas, just keep in mind that what you are doing is celebrating not just the birth, not just an event, but God sending light into a dark world. And that's the gospel. And it may be that there's one here today even, still in darkness. Your Christmas is still just a baby in a manger, see. Wise men and shepherds, see. And you need to have your eyes opened so that you are no longer in darkness. You need to receive that light so that from this point on you have the right to be called a child of God as opposed to just an inhabitant of the world, see. And I would encourage you to think clearly about the light that came into the world 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ was born. Let's pray. Father, teach us of light. Thank you that we can celebrate the coming of Christ, but that we can understand a little bit more of its meaning. Light coming into a dark world. That people's eyes might be open, that they might turn from darkness to light. That they might have, from this Christmas on, the right to be called children of God by faith in His name. So just bless us, Lord, with this thought of Christmas, that our rejoicing might be increased. And as we see the evidence, the celebrations, that our celebration might truly be the coming of light into the world. We'll thank you for it in your name. Amen. As we close our service, I'd like you to take the song that we put, the hymn that we put in your bulletin. We've sung this before. It just doesn't happen to be in our hymnal. But it's a good song to sing at Christmas time. It's not your standard Christmas hymn, Christmas carol. But think of the words. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Good song to sing. If you would, please stand, and we'll sing all four verses of the insert in your bulletin, and think of the words, think of light coming into the world. And Steve, would you come, please?
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Ye dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes, the light of the world is Jesus. Go wash at His bidding and light will arise. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of the world is Jesus. The Lamb is the light in the city of gold. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are a people who identify with this song. We were darkness. We lived in darkness. Our deeds were dark. And yet the good news came, and the light pierced the darkness, and we saw the Lord Jesus Christ in His goodness, in His mercy, dying in our place. And for that we thank You. We thank You that You shed Your light in our lives. And perhaps, Father, some today who may be here are still abiding in darkness, still do not see. As the hymn writer said, we ask that You would remove the blinders from those sin-blinded eyes, that they may see the light of the world. Thank You for sending Your Son to bear our sins upon the tree. May this Christmas season for all of us be a season of light, of abiding in the light, of looking to the light, looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Thank You, Father, for a time in which we can think about our Savior and salvation that was given to us. Bless, Father, as we think about and as we reflect upon what our Savior means to us. I pray, Lord, that all here today may join with us who are in Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.